It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
This is the man accused of intentionally running over three Phoenix police officers, unprovoked. 44-year-old Mark Laquan Payne did not respond to reporters' questions as to why.
And I'm outraged by this incident. This is a violent, cowardly act on our police officers, and it's simply unacceptable. Our Phoenix police officers were targeted.
The surveillance video is difficult to stomach. It shows the three officers standing outside of their patrol car. Without warning, Payne's vehicle rams into them at high speed. One officer is able to dodge the car. Two officers are directly hit. The impact sends a rookie officer flying into the air. A sergeant is trapped under the vehicle.
These officers could have easily been killed, and I thank God that we're not planning three funerals right now.
The injured rookie helps his partner tackle Payne and take him into custody.
Unbelievable. Our officer that hits the front of the glass and smashes the glass gets back up, engages in the fight to take the suspect in custody. He runs over us, and then he still fights with us as we're trying to take him into custody.
While we don't know why Payne plowed into the officers, we know he has a history of attacking police. Payne was arrested in 1997 for assaulting three Phoenix police officers. Court paperwork shows officers pulled Payne over for a traffic stop. He had a warrant out for his arrest. But when officers tried to take him into custody, he fought, elbowing and kicking them. Payne cut a plea deal in that case and was put on probation. Nearly 20 years later, he's in jail for attacking three officers again. Only this time, he's facing attempted murder charges. And again, thankfully, the officers who were hurt this morning are expected to make full recoveries. A sergeant is suffering from a broken leg, and the rookie officer, it was his first day on the job, he's suffering from head injuries. Reporting live, I'm Nicole Garcia, Fox 10 News.
All right, so while you were sleeping last night, that's what our American police were putting up with in Phoenix. And if she hadn't said attempted murder, I was going to correct her, because assaulting, are you kidding me? You should see the tape, and you probably will today. You'll see him directing his car at high speed toward these three policemen just standing by their vehicle. This is an attempted murder. I find myself wondering, this is going to be very controversial, but, in a case like that, when someone's trying to get away, isn't it like, shouldn't it be shoot to kill? If you've tried to kill three policemen, now we're going to be gingerly arrested, make sure we don't hurt the suspect, and make sure that we, give them their due process. It just seems to me that we need to move to a different level of protection for our police. And last night, a North Carolina policeman was killed. You know that, right? A couple of days ago, Officer Tim Brackeen, he was a 12-year department veteran. He was wearing a bulletproof vest when he was shot. He just received Officer of the Year in 2012. The mayor said he is such a good guy and so thoughtful. He's everything you'd want in a police officer, shot by another black man in an ambush. So, again, this is not about black and white. This is about evil. This is about evil. There's just no question about it. And that brings me to the next discussion. I recognize there are lots of things happening in the country right now. We're going to talk about politics. We do every day. But to me, we need to keep sight of what's going on in our country. This is chaos. And, remember Colin Kaepernick, who will not stand or stand for the national anthem. And remember that no one ever mentions that his girlfriend is a committed Muslim. That's who he's dating right now. And suddenly he won't stand for the national anthem. That has to be said over and over again, as often as it takes to have people listen to this. So Colin Kaepernick, the new hero for all the NFL players who are now following him, for some high school kids who are now following him, wore cops are pigs socks on his feet. Yeah, I just thought I would mention that. Cops are pigs, Colin Kaepernick thinks. And of course, our policemen are being killed on a daily basis. The attempt, the actual success in killing so many of them in the last months is just amazing. Well, South Park has come up with what it always does, with a very caustic sort of delivery of this story. They've put out sort of a national anthem-themed promo for their new season. I'm not advertising for South Park, but I want you to hear that shows a whole group of people standing in a stadium. Looks to me like lots of them, let's just say they might be foreign nationals. And so this is the way it comes down. This is how it sounds. Let's listen.
Colin Kaepernick is brave. Cops are pigs. Cops are pigs. Wait, someone just took my stuff. I need to call the cops. Oh no, I just said cops are pigs. Now who's gonna help me get my stuff? Why did I listen to Colin Kaepernick? He's not even any good. Oh, I just got all my stuff back. Cops are pigs again. Cops are pigs. Colin Kaepernick's a good backup.
All right, so you get the gist of that. They're all singing cops are pigs. Cops are pigs. Wait, someone just took my stuff. I need to call the cops. Oh, no, I just said cops are pigs. Who's going to help me get my stuff? Why did I listen to Colin Kaepernick? He's not even any good. Oh, I just got all my stuff back. So cops are pigs again. Cops are pigs. Colin Kaepernick's a good backup. And that's, you know, that's the way it's going down. Good, you know, congratulations to South Park for really capturing the hypocrisy of people. You know, that remember the Black Lives Matter guy? I forgot what city it was. It happened a couple of months ago, who was robbed. And the police helped him, got his stuff back, and he was so grateful, and he sort of said, gee, you know, yeah. This is just, it's wrong. It's not funny. It's terrible what's happening, and it's spreading like wildfire. Monday night, Kaepernick was still in the, he's such a hero now. Mr. Cops are pigs on his feet, socks. And the irony of it is, you know, Roger Goodell of the commissioner of the NFL, I've been meaning to talk about this all week, actually, and I'm not a sports person, so I'm on very shaky ground when I start talking about football or sports because I get names, leagues, details wrong, and I don't like to do that. I don't like to pretend I know something I don't, so I'll just tell you up front, this is not my bailiwick, neither is dogs. I can't talk about dogs or sports, that's what I always say, but Kaepernick remained, you know, not standing for the national anthem in the last game, too. Primetime broadcast. I don't know if it was on Sunday with him or it was on Monday night. But here's the thing. This is from the San Francisco CBS outlet. The Niners' second-string quarterback is expected to again take a knee during the Star-Spangled Banner to protest police brutality against African Americans. The primetime national broadcast of the game against the Los Angeles Rams on Monday Night Football is only increasing the scrutiny of Kaepernick's actions. Some fans in attendance told KPI X5 they also plan to take a knee in the stands. Greg Bellows came up from Compton to support Kaepernick. By him standing that way, it's making everybody notice what he's talking about, said Bellows. I ain't going to stand with him. I'm going to kneel with him. We go through police brutality. You know what I mean? We lose people every day to police brutality. All right, so I have to say, I understand with the feverish pitch and the long history of American police and with African Americans being as bad as it is, I understand the natural tendency to take the leadership of someone like a Colin Kaepernick. But I wonder if Greg Bellows knows that Kaepernick's girlfriend is influencing him. And that has a lot more to do with other things, perhaps. Just saying, you know, more than it does even police. But I also wonder if Mr. Bellows understands that so much of what he's been hearing is not true. It's twisted. And I'll tell you where some of this is coming from. A lot of this is coming from. This is from the San Francisco CBS outlet. Listen to this. Activists with the Revolutionary Communist Party were handing out flyers at the Santa Clara Caltrain station, encouraging those attending the game to keep their seats during the anthem. The flyer, which was topped by the title Top 10 Reasons to Sit Down for the Nasty Full Anthem, offered a list of alleged wrongdoings committed by the United States dating back to 1800s right up through modern times. And so here's the flyer. I'll just give you a little bit of it. top 10 reasons to sit down for the nasty full anthem. Because the United States was founded on slavery, black people still have no rights. This white supremacist system is bound to respect, and there was an epidemic of unpunished murder by police. Because the USA was built on and continues to carry out genocide of native peoples. Because America was created by stealing half of Mexico's land in a war of conquest, rape, and plunder. Because in America, a woman is raped every 2 minutes and a woman is battered every 9 seconds. I'm sorry, I'm laughing about that because so many of the criminals that are in jail that are doing these criminal acts against police are the very rapists of women. This is all so convoluted that communists go on, they have 10 other reasons. I have to say, this is what you'd hear in a history course in most major universities right now. This is what the professors are teaching. And no story about how did Francis Scott Key come to write that anthem and what does it represent? And what does that last verse mean? Oh, but thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the ward's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land bless the power that has made and preserve them a nation. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, that has nothing to do with color. It has to do with freedom and free men. That is America's vision, and it's her promise. It's the unique thing she offered to the world. And the barriers of race, as difficult as they have been knocked down very painfully over the course of hundreds of years, plus lives, hundreds of thousands of lives lost in the battle of the Civil War battle. So it's just amazing to me. Now we're to the point where we can't even agree on basically respecting our country, even on 9/11. And when you think about Colin Kaepernick, whose Muslim girlfriend is, according to sources influencing him, not standing for the national anthem on 9/11 at a football game and leading everybody down this path, it's disgusting to me, I have to say. It's absolutely, it is upside down. Rob Lowe, the actor, tweeted this: "Dear NFL player, anyone wants to boycott the anthem on 9/11 should be asked to remain in the locker room until kickoff. It's not their moment." So you know that some of the teams, I think the Seattle Seahawks locked arms together as a team during the playing of the anthem. Also, Roger Goodell, who is fine with Colin Kaepernick, you know, not standing during the anthem, is threatening to sack Titans linebacker Avery Williamson, because he was going to wear a pair of patriotic cleats honoring those who died on 9/11. So he was going to be fined, and he ended up not wearing them. But Colin Kaepernick, man, he can do what he wants. It's amazing. And people are getting upset. I hear people saying, you know, I'm not going to support the NFL anymore. I'm not going to buy their stuff. I'm going to stop going to their games. The division is sad. It's really sad, and it will have repercussions on the whole nation. We know that high school players around the country following Kaepernick's, you know, bold stand with his pig's socks. But we also know that there are other areas of the country that are doing something very different. In fact, in Flint, Michigan, the Lapeer Lightnings, for some reason, they didn't have an anthem. The announcer said the national anthem would not be played at the game. And the players went out on the field and stood, put their hands over their heart, and sang the anthem. And the people in the crowd stood and joined with them and sang it. And, of course, in Camden, New Jersey, the Diocese of Camden, the Catholic Diocese, is saying that our schools are founded on the teaching of and respect and honor for God, country, and duly appointed authority. The best approach is helping our young people understand that blood was sacrificed, that we can all enjoy the gifts of our faith and our country. And players, coaches, and administrators are expected to show respect during prayer, pledges, and the playing of the national anthem. Failure to demonstrate appropriate respect will result in suspension from play or dismissal from the team. And so some people are taking a very good stand. I have so much to say, and it has nothing to do with politics today, but we're going to take a break because there is an issue that's not being discussed in the news. And there are reasons for that, but it is an extremely important issue. It has a funny name, but it's not a funny subject. It's called the lame duck session. We'll talk about it when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. there's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. Tongue-tied when it comes to witnessing? Then let God's Word do the talking for you.
I drive truck for a living. I meet people every day, all day, every day. I'd love to be able to share the bread of life instead of just trivial stuff. I see a lot of lost souls every day, and this gift of the Gospel of John, it'll be perfect.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us, and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
Our church is giving the Bibles at the end of Bible school. Each child receives a free Bible. We're using the full armor of God with the Bible as the sword.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. Children across the Fruited Plain are emulating the likes of Colin Kaepernick, the San Francisco 49ers quarterback. The kids are refusing to stand for the national anthem. Grown men teaching children to hate the red, white, and blue. To be clear, professional football players have a constitutional right to demonstrate their hatred of America. They have a right to denigrate our troops and desecrate the flag. It's wrong, but it's their right. But we have rights, too. We have the right to boycott their games. We have a right to boycott the corporate sponsors who finance their anti-American platforms. Eli Harold's a teammate of Mr. Kaepernick's. He told ESPN he was furious that fans are not supporting their project, says they have no right to boo. Somebody should tell Mr. Harold the First Amendment provides free speech for everybody, not just a bunch of overpaid professional pinheads. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Give Merrick Garland a vote. Look, folks, you don't have to, my friends in the Senate, you don't have to support Merrick Garland. You don't have to support the Chief Judge of the Circuit. Vote no. But give him a vote. We're setting an incredibly dangerous precedent in the institution that I love, that I served in 36 years. I'm prouder of being a senator over that time than anything I've done in my whole life. But don't set this dangerous precedent.
I'm sorry, my cynical mind just said, I'm not sure he's ever done anything in his whole life. He went into the Senate when he was a young man. That's the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden. And this is Sandy Rios. And, of course, he's pushing for a vote on Barack Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Merrick Garland. The danger is that even though Republicans have said steadfastly, Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate, that they're not going to bring his name up for a vote, we have something looming called the lame duck session. The lame duck session is the period of time after the November election and before the new Congress convenes. It's the time when all of those guys who weren't elected and can go home and are not accountable to anyone anymore can vote for lots of nefarious stuff. It's a very dangerous time, and people are sounding the alarm bells here in Washington, and I wanted you to know about it. So I've asked someone I think is one of the best to articulate this really in this city, and it's Tommy Binion. Tommy is the Director of Policy Outreach for the Heritage Foundation, who's been writing all about this. And Tommy, thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Tommy, the lame duck is not something provided for in the Constitution, is it?
Well, it's certainly allowed under the Constitution. It was a regular occurrence for about a century and a half. The new Congress didn't begin for more than 6 months. Maybe it was about five. It began on March 4th until the 20th Amendment kicked in 1933. So we do have a history of lame ducks. But, of course, in that time, it was required from a logistical standpoint. Today, it is abused. And so we do have a history of lame ducks, but it's not something that is reflective today of representative democracy. So in that sense, it's definitely not in the spirit of the Constitution.
Yeah, let me just say, Tommy, I think in the early days when they started, they would be in lame duck session, they would have to do things like they were at war and they had to pass laws that made provision for troops and things like that. But now it's increasingly becoming used to pass legislation that would not normally pass. In fact, maybe help us think through what some of the greatest abuses in our last few years here in Washington have been with the lame duck session.
Well, let me give you some flavor. In 2012, there was a lame duck session that passed 88 bills that were signed in law by the president. In 2010, there were 100 bills passed by the Congress, signed into law by the president. That 2010 session was the one that repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We've got a long history of abuses. Going back to the 70s, the Clean Air Act, the Community Development Corporation, we've got decades and decades of history here with bad things happening in the lame duck.
And so, of course, you know, to state the obvious, there are very controversial things that congressmen don't want to vote on because they'll have to pay a price for it back home. But in the lame duck, for those that are not returning, there is no price. And so the leadership will bring up these things. But Tommy, that doesn't explain it all because, you know, Republicans have been using these lame duck sessions to do some really bad things. And like Mitch McConnell's coming back. So what is to their advantage to do some of these controversial proposals right now?
Well, I want to be very clear. It's not a matter. These things don't just happen to come up in the lame duck. They are intentionally scheduled during the lame duck. If you are a rank and file congressman in a tough election right now, you don't want to take a hard vote on a sweeping legislation like the continuing resolution or an omnibus spending bill. You want to delay that vote until after you've been reelected. So it's not just those members of Congress who weren't reelected or are retiring that are still voting. It's those who want to take tough votes but don't want them to be on their record for the election.
So in other words, November 8th is the election. So as soon as they come back into session, could be November 9th, I don't know what their calendar is, they could vote on things that they'd be afraid to vote on November 8th when people are going into the ballot box. So the next day, hey, I'm free, nobody's going to punish me, or they're not even going to remember because this is early on in my term, and so they feel much freer.
Right, and we can see that's so clear today. This week, the Senate's going to vote on a continuing resolution that expires December 9th, and the point of doing such a short, that's a bill that funds, that spends money for the entire government. The point of doing such a short-term spending measure instead of a full year, which would be closer to regular order, is so that they can do that full year in December after they've been reelected.
All right. So, but explain that a little better, Tommy. This is the challenge. You know, let me explain. Tommy has been working on Capitol Hill for a number of years. That's why he's an expert. And now he's working with Heritage, but he understands the process so well. But there's the problem, Tommy, because we're talking to people who are not in this process. And I have mild understanding of it myself. So what's the bad? That doesn't sound bad to me. Short-term resolution, continuing resolution, short-term spending. What's the matter with that?
Well, so a spending bill is an opportunity to do three things. You can reduce spending or increase spending. You can attach policy riders, and you can set up the congressional scheduling. All of those things are things that matter for the election. Republicans want to reduce spending. Democrats want to increase spending. Republicans, however, are going to cave, and they're going to vote to increase spending in December. They don't want to cave now before the election. They don't want their constituents to know that they're willing to vote for increased spending. So they'd rather kick the can down the road for a few months, take a Band-Aid for a couple months, and then everybody knows that the joke is, in December, once they've been reelected, they're very comfortable voting to increase spending. But they don't want to do it now, so that short-term spending measure just buys them the time to continue to run on the platform, I'm for limited government, I'm for reducing spending, when they're perfectly willing to take that vote in December.
And Tommy, they have repeatedly given Barack Obama and the left all that they want on these major spending bills, including the very controversial refunding of Planned Parenthood after the exposure of the baby body parts thing. This is how they get away with this stuff. They don't want to take any hard stands or take any falls in the ballot box for taking what they consider difficult positions. Well, coming up in this lame duck session, it's not just the spending, Tommy, there are other things, as you well know. From your perspective, what are the greatest dangers in an upcoming lame duck session?
Well, Merrick Garland, the president's nominee for the Supreme Court. You never know what kind of knots the Senate will twist itself in to go back on its earlier statements, depending on what happens in the election. So let's just imagine, and hopefully this won't happen, but let's imagine Hillary Clinton is elected and we lose the Senate. The Republican senators could claim we're going to get a worse nominee from President Clinton, and what we need to do is confirm Merrick Garland. Of course, the Democrats won't have a 60-seat majority. That's not in the cards at all. And so Republicans will still have the ability to block a Clinton nomination, but they'll be scared, and so they could look at a Merrick Garland nomination. Of course, TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a trade deal, with all kinds of unknowns in it, could be passed in the lame duck. There's a slate of tax provisions that they'd like to get to in the lame duck. It's a lot of scary stuff.
Now, the TPP, of course, is such a mixed bag. You know, people are on all sides of this issue. And in this election, Donald Trump, I'm pretty sure, has said that he's against, as it stands, the way it's worded now. Mrs. Clinton, where did she ever come down on that, Tommy? Do you know? She kind of wavered on the TPP.
At the moment, I believe she's opposed, but that changes on a monthly basis. So she's been for it, and now she's against it. And we never know, as the polls and the wind blows, where she'll be next week.
Let me just remind people, we talked a great deal about the Trans-Pacific Partnership several months ago. This will sound familiar, huge document with all kinds of really bad things in it. Very great for, I think, international corporate interests, good for immigration advocates, not so good for Americans. And also giving in the whole issue of sovereignty, it's handing over so much of our sovereignty in terms of trade to other nations. And so it's a very dangerous bill. The president has been pushing for it for a long time, but some Republicans are also pushing for it. It has really divided the party. So there would be motivation, wouldn't there, Tommy, because a lot of the leadership of the Republican Party are tied into interests who want the TPP passed. So the lame duck would be perfect time for them to pass that, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. You better believe we're going to see the business interests lobbying very hard for that to happen. It's quiet now because I think they know they'll have an opportunity to get that done in the lame duck. And I'll just add one other thing. The Internet sales tax is a possibility. A huge new tax levied on the American people just in time for Christmas shopping. Can you imagine? That's in the cards for the lame duck. So all of this stuff has been on the agenda for years. But the lame duck is the time when it becomes most likely, one, because there's a few members who are retiring or haven't been reelected, but two, because they've just been reelected and they feel comfortable. Keep in mind, Congress was out of session from July the 15th until September the 6th. That's nearly 2 months that they were out of session without doing anything. All of this stuff could have been considered in the light of day before the election. And I just bring that up to this is nefarious activity. This is hiding the ball and shielding themselves from representative democracy. It's really disappointing.
It is very disappointing, and this is what those of us that are on the front lines here in Washington see almost on a daily basis. It is so incredibly discouraging. But, Tommy, you know, I actually think that people in the rest of the country are beginning to understand the corruption that is Washington, D.C., and I think that's probably why Donald Trump has been riding the crest of a wave. There's just a rebellion as people understand and it's on both sides. You know, I think that people in the election cycle saw the corruption on the Democratic side for the process of nominating Hillary Clinton. So people are perhaps beginning to understand. But is there anything that I think, am I correct to remember that Heritage actually lobbied for Mitch McConnell and others to absolutely not even have a lame duck session?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. There's no need for a lame duck session. There's plenty of time even now in September and perhaps in October to get this work done. Get the work done. Let the constituents know what they're voting for. I certainly think that the product would be better. Spending would be lower. Some of these bad legislative items would never come to be because representative democracy, of course, is a great accountability measure and kicks in highest in the months before the election, which is one of the reasons we see Congress in session so much less often in the months before the election. So absolutely, there's no need for a lame duck. There's no requirement for it. And I firmly believe that if one happens, it will be a huge problem for the country.
Tommy, we talked about we talked in broad terms about a short-term spending bill, continuing resolution, but we didn't say anything specific about what's pending. You mentioned that in the past, as part of the defense authorization bill, I remember it was the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. There are always hidden things in these spending bills. Is there anything like that that could be included in this funding?
Yes, there's one big issue I'd like to tell you about. We know that Zika is a problem. It's something that's on all of our minds. And one of the things that happens when we have a crisis or a problem like Zika is the Congress feels the need to put a Band-Aid on it, to spend some money to try to solve the problem. So the Congress would like to have what's called supplemental or emergency spending to go down to Puerto Rico and Florida to spend to help with Zika. One of the big holdups with that negotiation is that, of course, Planned Parenthood would be eligible for big portions of that funding. There's Planned Parenthood facilities in Puerto Rico that want to have that money, want to say that it's for Zika. And there's a few pro-life heroes in Washington that are fighting against that. But we could very well see not just a failure to defund Planned Parenthood after the gruesome videos that we all saw earlier this year and last year, but to increase their funding through this emergency Zika funding. So that's one of the things that's really alarming that could be in the spending bill.
Tommy, we have 1 minute left. This is a very personal question from me to you. I get discouraged. It just seems almost hopeless. Sometimes we lose more of these than we ever win. What keeps you energized and hopeful?
The stakes. The stakes are too high. You know, we our country is on the brink. It's the country that we love. We have got to turn around the tide. When you see NFL games and Colin Kaepernick protesting and those kinds of things, it breaks your heart, but it reminds you what the stakes are. This is the greatest country humankind has ever known, and we're going to lose it if we don't stay energized and motivated. So,
well said, Tommy Binion. Thanks, Tommy. Heritage Foundation, and a young warrior, but a warrior nonetheless. And I guess, Tommy, you encourage me because of your steadfast energy that you bring to this battle. So thank you for that. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Sandy. Right. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right, Sandy Rios, I'll be right back right after this.
How would you describe your health care?
If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
As a group, millennials have more than $1 trillion in purchasing power. So you know businesses are watching us. By 2025, we'll comprise 75% of the workforce. So employers are watching us. Despite these positives, millennials are losing our faith. So we know Satan is watching us. Engage Magazine is for millennials by millennials. And it speaks to faith, purpose, and a closer walk with Jesus. Because above all, God is watching us. Visit EngageMagazine.net and listen Saturday afternoons at 5:30 Central on AFR.
Planned Parenthood clinics have become more like U-Pull auto part dealers than health clinics for women. It's a very clear illustration of what our culture demands right now, and that is the leadership of the church rolling up its sleeves, getting into our communities.
Advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Washington Watch Daily with Tony Perkins, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas. It's a great way to say thank you to our soldiers for all they do. We'll be serving around 1,800 soldiers that day, and we need your help to make it happen. If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. That number again is 877-968-3742. You can also donate online by going to www.tankfuloflove.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. For the past 8 years, the Obama Doctrine has come down to 9 words. Embolden our enemies, undermine our friends, diminish our country. Examples abound, but insufficient attention has been given to date to this doctrine's application with respect to Cuba. With President Obama's decision to normalize relations with the communist dictatorship of the unreformed and unrepentant Castro brothers, American taxpayers have replaced their former patrons, the Soviet Union and Venezuela, as the source of life support for that odious regime. In so doing, the United States not only abandoned those in Cuba and elsewhere who have long sought to free the island from the Castro's tyranny, the Associated Press reports that we've also wound up directly enriching the virulently anti-American Cuban military, which basically owns the country's tourism industry, among other enterprises. That's bad for Cubans and bad for us. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Hello, Philly! Anybody can fire off a tweet, but that doesn't mean you know what it's like to manage a global crisis. The closest you can come to understanding what it's like is to be where Hillary's been. He wasn't going to let you on his golf course. He wasn't going to let you buy in his condo. And now suddenly this guy's going to be your champion? If you want higher wages, better benefits, a fair tax code, a bigger voice for workers, stronger regulations on Wall Street, then you should be voting for Hillary Clinton.
Well, that was Barack Obama. He has not lost his mojo. That was Philadelphia yesterday. You hear them chanting, Obama, Obama. It's amazing. You know, his approval ratings are like in the 60s now. I think about, maybe it's 59. It's right there. It's amazing to me. Absolutely astounding. So he was having a good time. He was there to rally for Hillary Clinton, but he talked about himself 137 times, according to a report by Kyle Olson. He ended by saying, the time has come for me to pass the baton on, but I know Hillary is going to take it, and she's going to run the race, and she will finish that race, and that's why I'm with her. That's why I'm fired up. That's why I'm ready to go, and I need you to join me. I need you to work as hard for Hillary as you did for me. I need you to knock on doors. I need you to make phone calls. So he's out there to fire up the base, and he's certainly succeeding at that. Of course, I could say, you know, we just selected a few of his comments there in that he said a lot of things. But what he's talking about, Donald Trump saying that he would not let them, and he's talking to a black audience for the most part, he would not let them in his club, wouldn't let them in his hotel. That's an abject lie. Donald Trump, of one thing you have to say about Donald Trump, he was one of the first people to lift the restrictions in his country clubs against Jews and certainly against, I don't know if he had to even lift a restriction against blacks, but he is not on record as being a racist in any form or fashion, but it doesn't matter what the truth is because Barack Obama said it. He intimated it to a black audience, and now surely it must be true that Donald Trump is a racist. I just find it so ironic that he receives such strong support when he has basically wrecked our healthcare system. The reports on what's happening with Obamacare are just unbelievable. And people's health are going to suffer for it. They won't be able to get coverage. They won't be able to pay for their deductibles. They will not be able to get good care with good doctors. There'll be fewer doctors handling more people, just exactly what we had suspected. And that, yet that's fine. Doesn't really matter what he does. His charm just somehow supersedes all of the reality. And now Mrs. Obama's going out, too. In fact, the New York Times is now featuring... We did a feature article on her yesterday. Michelle Obama brings voters' trust to Hillary Clinton's campaign. It says Michelle Obama has bridled for years at the confines of life in the White House and has tried to steer clear of the partisan messiness that has consumed her husband and is fueling this year's bare-knuckled presidential contest. But this week, Mrs. Obama will wade into the campaign fray on behalf of Hillary Clinton, putting her broad popularity and reputation for authenticity to work for a candidate who has suffered from a lack of both. And so this is what, of course, Mrs. Obama has her own radical past, you know, her master's thesis. She is very much focused on racism. It's amazing to me how they have softened the palate for her. You know, I'm from Chicago. We know what Michelle used to be like. And she said, she used to say, remember, she said, finally, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country. Remember when Barack Obama ran for the first time? She has her own radical past. And yet now, you know, she looks beautiful. And she does, I have to say, her fashion, her style. She's very gracious when she talks. It's very convincing. But this part, you should know and be aware that in all of this hurry and scurry to discuss behind closed doors, what might happen if Hillary Clinton, you know, looks like she just might not make it because of her health problems, because of her calling Donald Trump's supporters a basket of deplorables, because of all the other things, because of her lack of charm. There is talk, of course, about who might replace her. And the natural thought, you know, goes to Tim Kaine, the vice president, vice presidential nominee, which, by the way, yesterday we put Ken Blackwell's article on Tim Kaine's radical past, his affiliation with the radicals in South America. That's on our Facebook page, and I would encourage you to read it. So Tim Kaine, maybe? Some are saying Joe Biden might be step up. Many people, and I've said this before at this mic, would be a formidable candidate. But some people are saying, well, gee, how about Michelle Obama? Just how about that? How about that? What if we have to remove Hillary Clinton? How about Michelle Obama? So I think that would be brilliant, actually. And so this isn't over. We have no idea what's going to be happening in the next few weeks, the less than 2 months that we have before the election. But these are the things that are percolating around here. And as I said at the beginning of the show, there are real issues at stake. The whole thing with Colin Kaepernick, we talked about a great deal. We talked about the NFL, once the bastion of American patriotism, of love of country, and no color barriers. No color barriers. Look at the number, mostly black players now in the NFL, and whites, and I don't know if there are very many Hispanics. See, I'm talking football, so I don't know. But white and black, I do know about that. Not a place where racism is practiced. You know, where contracts are given, as far as I can tell, equally, according to merit and worth and ability. But now, suddenly, you know, the center of this expression of the mistreatment of blacks. But I think, again, with Kaepernick, it's deeper than that. Mr. Wear hate the pig's socks, Mr. Nice Guy, who won't stand for the anthem, has something much more sinister in mind, and I think it has to do with the influence of his Muslim girlfriend, who was a DJ at MTV. So there you go. And so we had police yesterday morning in Phoenix, or last night, overnight, who were run down by a black criminal while they were standing by their van. None of them have been killed, but the intent to kill was very clear in the video. We have another policeman killed Monday from North Carolina by a black assailant. Look, it's not right. I do have to say this. I will say it. It isn't right if a white cop kills a black man who's innocent for no reason. But it is not right for a black criminal to go after policemen and slaughter them with impunity. This is all wrong, all of it. And so so we have this this whole issue with the police. And then I talked to you about, this is a new story, and I guess I just want to drop this story in, and then I'll tell you how this also ties into the sports scene. A report last night, remember the name Chelsea Manning? Surely you must. I remember it very well. It's Bradley Manning is his name. Bradley Manning, I remember the story oh so well. It happened in 2010. He was arrested because he leaked more than 700,000 secret military and State Department documents to WikiLeaks. He was the source of this. He was working in security. And the thing that you probably don't know, because, you know, just like you don't know Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend is a Muslim MTV DJ, very strong proponent of her faith. We don't know also that Chelsea Bradley Manning, leaked those WikiLeaks to WikiLeaks out of a dispute with his gay lover. He was upset. This came out in the court trial. He was upset, and so as an act of sort of vengeance or pique, whatever you want to call it, he leaked these documents. Tremendous damage to the American government. This is a traitor. So he's convicted. And in 2013, right away, then he wants to be Chelsea Manning. So they start addressing him. We are forced to call him. I'm not. But, you know, the officials are forced to call him Chelsea because he thinks he's a woman. And now he's been on a hunger strike because, you know, it's not such a happy place for him in prison in Colorado. But there are other reasons, too. Let's listen to Cut 8.
Chelsea Manning could be the first U.S. prisoner to receive gender reassignment surgery all on the taxpayer's dime. The military agreeing to the former Army intelligence officer's demands following a four-day hunger strike. Back in 2013, Manning was convicted of stealing and releasing 750,000 pages of U.S. documents and videos to WikiLeaks.
Do you understand what's happening here? So Bradley Manning, a.k.a. Chelsea, goes on a hunger strike because he wants a sex change operation, which is, by the way, very expensive. You have to remove some parts and install others. Hormone treatments. Removal of facial hair. All kinds of things. It's a series of operations, and it's very expensive. And now, oh, gee, he's on a hunger strike. So now we, the taxpayers, you and me, our military budget that goes to protect our nation, now is going to pay for all of the operations necessary to make Bradley into Chelsea. And the implications of it are greater than that, because the army just announced, or the military just announced, that they're going to start, you know, they've already been opening up their gates to their applications to transgender persons. So do you think for a minute that transgender persons are not going to sort of flock to the military for free sex assignment surgeries? You think that's not coming up next? Anybody have any idea how much that's going to cost? How that's going to weaken our national defense? Misspent tax dollars on something like this for some people who think they're men and want to be women, or think they're women, or are women and think they're men? This is what your tax defense dollars are going to go for. And that ties back to me, to the whole business of the bathroom issue, because that issue out of North Carolina and other places, Target, which AFA has been involved in trying to get Target to stop opening up their bathrooms and changing facilities to anyone. There should be something that says men and something that says women. And by the way, there was another unseemly situation that happened. I'm not sure what the town was. I was going to pull that up, but I'm not sure. But there was another man caught filming a woman in a Target dressing room. But hey, that's okay, right? Because they're equal. They're the same, right? Men and women should be allowed to be in the bathrooms together and in the changing facilities. Well, so says the NCAA, which is now, of course, punishing North Carolina over their bathroom bill that simply says that people should only have to use the bathroom that comports with their birth certificate. That's terrible. Well, that's a discrimination. That's just horrible, isn't it? But that's what the NCAA says about North Carolina. They're punishing North Carolina. They've pulled 7 championships from, of course, that's going to cost North Carolina a lot of money. We know that the NBA canceled one of their tournaments, and that was hurtful enough. And so now Fox News is reporting it this way. Unlike the recent one-time cancellations by the NBA and various rock stars, the move by college sports governing body could make moderate and conservative voters question whether the price tag for the law has finally become too high. So we should just all cave, right? We should just let chaos ensue. Could I please read to you again? I read this to you yesterday. This is the head of the Republican Party in North Carolina, Lisa's spokesperson, Commie Mueller. And this is what she said. It just needs to be repeated. About the NCAA, this is so absurd, it's almost comical. I genuinely look forward to the NCAA merging all men's and women's teams together as singular, unified, unisex teams. Under the NCAA's logic, colleges should make cheerleaders and football players share bathrooms, showers, and hotel rooms. This decision is an assault to female athletes across the nation. If you are unwilling to have a women's bathrooms and locker rooms, how do you have a women's team? I wish the NCAA was this concerned about the women who were raped at Baylor. Perhaps the NCAA should stop with their political peacocking and instead focus their energies on making sure our nation's collegiate athletes are safe both on and off the field. I'm going to issue a challenge. Those of you that have kids who are playing sports these days in college, I'm going to issue a challenge for you to consider taking a very difficult stand, talking to your kids. I think we need a mass exodus, a mass stand against this, unless you really are cool with your daughter, the cheerleader, showering with the men. If that's okay with you, then just stay quiet, take it easy, take the easy path, make sure there are no repercussions and no one says anything bad about you. It's time for Americans to take a stand, no matter what the cost, because otherwise we're going to lose it all. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.